Wow, this morning already. I thought it was beautiful, the word that was brought, the prophetic word. And then I knew what the next song was going to be. I had looked at the set list even though I wasn't on the team. And so just the things that are being declared and spoken and prayed for about, you know, breaking addiction, all that stuff, I'm like, oh my goodness, we're about to sing it. And just the power that comes that we had that unity in prayer, but then we got to do what we get to do is say it in unity all together and sing those declarations as well too about speaking Jesus. And so it was fabulous. Lord, we thank you already just for the work and the moving and the healing and the restoration that has been happening here this morning. This is just another piece now that I get to do. On this part, usually I'm not in this part. I'm usually in the receiving part, but it's awesome to be here. And it has been, Pastor Terry, you've been saying it has been a great, great privilege to be able to hear these testimonies that have been coming for the last month now. It was the beginning of January that we started. And just how the Word of God has transformed some lives. And every Sunday we have that opportunity. We say that. We're going to say it again when we do our Bible declaration about every Sunday that the Word of God, I receive a Word of God that can change my life forever. But there's just something really neat about when we hear it with a story, with a testimony that comes with it. And I'm going to do just a really brief recap because there have been some fabulous, powerful things that have happened and spoken. And I encourage you, you know, as you've got a if you've got a commute or something like that, go to Spotify, go to YouTube, listen to the channel, listen to these messages again, these testimonies and the truths that come out in them. And if you've got that time when you're driving, it's a great time to do it. But it started the beginning of January with Pastor Terry. And he was talking from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. I just realized, no wonder my notes are a little blurry. I usually don't wear my glasses when I'm leading worship. There! So much clearer. Okay, that was better. But anyways, yeah, so in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, and it's Jesus speaking, and he says, take my yoke upon you, and I will give you rest. And that's the verse that he spoke on, and just the season in his life, the time that was happening, what was going on, and a challenging season, and trying to do things from how I received what he was saying, trying to do things on his own and recognizing, no, it's not going to happen. I'm going to break, and I'm going to break a lot. And Jesus is saying, come, even in this season, I can give you rest. I can give you rest. And just that transference of deep down into his spirit. And then we had Pastor Derek speaking from 1 Samuel 15, verse 17. And that is the prophet Samuel speaking to the first king of Israel, Saul. And that verse was, though you think little of yourself, are you not the king of Israel? In my notes I've got, are you not, dot, dot, dot. Because it's not just necessarily a king of Israel. What was happening is there was, I would say, how I heard you speaking at Derek, that was a word of significance that came to him in that moment, in that season, again, where there was insecurity, non-significance, those different struggles that were happening. And there was a word of significance that came very clear and spoke to him. And the interesting thing I thought about that is the beauty of it is we actually all get to be recipients of that word of significance that came. Because in September, he's going to be our lead pastor. And if that word of significance had not come, I don't know if that would be happening. So we, as a congregation, are a recipient of that, of just how the Lord has worked. And then we had Pastor Lori. She was here visiting. And Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 9. And that verse, it talks about things that matter. Or actually it says things that don't matter, because then it actually points to things that do, and that is knowing Jesus. And for her, that was a season of where she thought things were together, and then it all began to unravel. And that verse which Pastor Terry shared with her, then in that moment, the Holy Spirit was speaking to her, this is what matters, not all this other peripheral stuff. I'll take care of that. This is what matters, knowing Jesus. And then again last week, Pastor Terry, you were up sharing about Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 8. And our theme verse, Riverside's theme verse. Trees planted by the riverside. Roots go down deep. Leaves are always green. We're always producing fruit. We aren't worried about seasons of drought. And how that verse was significant for him and Pastor Ingrid, as they were getting ready to start Riverside. We needed a name too. That's where our name came from. Like you said, not the cool name, but I think Riverside is actually a pretty cool name. And just how that impactful was for him. But then he took that and said how it's impactful for us because we are all part of Riverside, so we are all recipients of that promise. And that's what was shared and declared again last Sunday. And so these are the rich things that have come over the last month. And it's powerful moments. And with testimony, or even when someone speaks a prophetic word to one person to another, there is this opportunity, I would say, that as there is every time when the word of God is spoken, to appropriate it to our lives. But sometimes when it happens with a testimony, there's a little bit more understanding because somebody out in who's hearing it can have the same situation of what is the person receiving the testimony or giving the testimony. And so it can be a case of, I was thinking of the case of you, Pastor Derek, and a word of significance that's given. If there's anyone who is hearing that message that is also struggling through those things in that season, in that challenge of insecurity and insignificance and those things, and that word came to Pastor Derek and he shares it and he testifies of it, what it's done in his life, I have the opportunity, if I have that same challenge, to go, if you spoke it to him, I can take that because you can speak it to me too. Because he actually is speaking it to me through the testimony. And so I can appropriate it into my life and it becomes a word that changes my life forever. And that's the power of testimony, is because it helps us align with somebody else who has a similar situation and go, if you did it for them, God, you're going to do it for me. So with that, I'm going to go into my verse. And so the verse that I chose today is a verse out of Deuteronomy. I'm going to bring it up in just a bit. And it came around 2010. I was trying to think of when this verse Holy Spirit highlighted to me. And it's sort of a chunk of verses. And I was chatting with Corey. I'm like, when did this happen? And it wasn't necessarily a certain season of our life, other than it was the raising children season of our life. But it wasn't like a particular instance. And all I can say, it was around 2010, so about 14-ish years ago, might be 15 years ago. And so we're going to read that. But before we do that, of course, we are going to do what we do on Sunday mornings before we read the Word of God, and that we're going to declare and say just what it is to us, the truth that it is. So I ask or encourage you to grab your Bibles, your tablets, your phones, whatever, and hold it. And we say hold it high, but also hold it with a gratitude heart. It's precious. So let's say this together. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who he says I am. I do what he says I can do. I have what he says I can have. I choose to open my heart to receive a word from God that changes my life forever. Amen. Amen. So be it. Now, I brought my paper Bible here, but I'm going to be looking off because I've got it in my notes here. So if I don't open this, it's because I've got it on there, but it's all together. It's still my Bible. So let's bring up that verse. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. And I'll read it. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now, I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. So there we go. That's the verse. So this verse and the surrounding verses, which actually I'm going to read in a little bit too, as again, I'm not exactly sure of the year of when it happened or the time frame. It was, like I said, our kids were probably around the ages of 9 to 13. And it was a mix, I think, a mix of preaching. It came either in a sermon or a conference. It was, I remember, I think it came from off of a platform or a pulpit setting. But it could have been a mix of that and then combined with what Holy Spirit was already working in me at that time. And there was a partnering verse that kind of was brought at the same time. So we're actually going to bring that up as well, too. Oh, sorry, not quite yet. Not quite yet. But what it talks about in Deuteronomy in this chunk of verses is Moses is reviewing the covenant that that the Lord has made with the Israelites. And they're about to be entering into the promised land. They've come out of Egypt. They've done their 40 years in the desert. And now is the time when they're going to be going across. And so they've already had some battles and some victories that have happened. And two of the tribes are going to be settled on one side of the Jordan, and they're about to cross into the other side and go and take the rest of the land that the Lord has laid out for them. And also the handoff is going to be happening between Moses and Joshua. So there's a lot going on in this chapter and the chapter before in Deuteronomy, because Moses is kind of, it's one of his last instruction times that he's giving before this handoff. And so Moses again then is reviewing this covenant that God has made with the people Israel. And it's interesting because earlier on in, I think it's chapter 29, talking about when the Israelites wander, this is how you can return, which is kind of interesting because we as humans are prone to wander. But yet the Lord says, this is how you return, by you love me and you obey me. So basically it's just like if you've wandered away, it's just this, and there you go. You just turn back. And I thought that was kind of interesting about that. So the surrounding verses, let's read those as well too. So now we'll put up Deuteronomy 30. And these are 9 verses that I'm going to read through. And you'll see the one that I highlighted is going to be part of that. So here we go. We got it? Actually, I'll read from up there. This command I am giving you today is not too difficult for you, and it is not beyond your reach. It is not kept in heaven, so distant that you must ask, who will go up to heaven and bring it down so we can hear it and obey? It is not kept beyond the sea, so far away that you must ask, who will cross the sea to bring it to us so we can hear it and obey? No, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. Now listen, today I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster, for I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. And here's the verse that I'm highlighting. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Thanks be to God for his word. Amen. So as this verse was being talked about, and it's, as I said, it's talking about choosing life or death. And in the instance of this, it's about choosing following God and following his ways or not following. But there was some different stirring as well that was happening in me. And so the partnering verse that came up from Proverbs that this person was speaking, I believe, and we'll bring that up now, Natalie, is the Proverbs one where it says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. So there again, there's that life and death. Today, I give you the choice between life and death, to follow the Lord or to not follow the Lord. And then in Proverbs, the tongue can bring death or life. And those who love to talk will reap the consequences. And so this thought process began to go on in me when I was hearing these, as the Holy Spirit was sort of, I'm going to use the word quickening, bringing stuff to light for me. And so I'm like, okay, I have chosen life, I would say, because I have chosen to serve the Lord. I've done that since I was a small child. I've chosen to serve the Lord. And so if I walk in his ways, if I walk in obedience to him, if I get closer to him, if I know him, there's going to be similarities that happen between me and what he does. So I'm going to have similar characteristics. That's what it says. And so I'm like, yes, okay, I'm going to have similar characteristics. And then that verse about Proverbs. Okay, life and death in the tongue and how I speak. And I began to ruminate about this and think about it. And then I was realizing and thinking, okay, God, you spoke. Anytime you speak, it's life-giving. It's always life-giving. And I even think back to creation, and you spoke, and creation happened. You just, the words came out, and it happened. And you created things, Lord God. Okay, I am made in your image. That means I have similar things that I can do. So when I speak, am I creating something? Not that I'm talking about creating a blade of grass, or a tree, or a fox, or something like that. No. But am I creating things when I speak? The power of death, or the power of life in the tongue. And this really just began, I know it may seem like, okay, this is a very basic concept, Janice, yes. But it was becoming revolutionary because it was going down deep and I was realizing, what am I creating with my words? What if how I speak is a blessing, is life-giving, or what if how I speak is pronouncing harm or a type of death or even a curse, which is actually an opposite of blessing? What if I'm doing that to myself in my thoughts, self-talk, or to others? And he just began to unfold this more and more. And so the practicality of this, the practical concept of these verses just began to go deeper and deeper and click in my spirit. And then I also began to think, okay, it says in Deuteronomy, I've been given a choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. I know we're talking about choosing Jesus, but again, so choosing Jesus, walking in his ways, doing his things, that's choosing life. Or I'm choosing death. And there doesn't seem to be anything in between. So I'm like, okay, I've been given a choice, and my choice is going to be noticed. It says heaven and earth will witness my choice. Heaven being the spiritual realm, earth being the earthly realm, people. My choice is going to be noticed. How do I live that choice? How have I lived it so far with my speech? With my actions, with my thoughts. And I kind of felt, because I'm a parent and I have children and I'm teaching them, what have I been modeling in front of them? What have I been modeling to my spouse? And the thought that came to mind as I was preparing this, there's a Disney film, The Jungle Book, and it's the animated Jungle Book. So that's a number of years ago. And there's the main character, Mowgli, and he's the man cub being raised in the jungle. And there's all these animals that are raising him. And because it's a Disney movie, all the animals are talking, of course. And so there are some that are helpful to him, and there are some that are antagonistic toward him. And one of them is a python, Ka. And Ka is this python, and of course, his intent, he has a few different actions throughout the movie with Mowgli, but his intent is always to devour him, to eat him. And because I guess, pythons, humans, maybe it's just a natural thing, obviously. And so in order to do that, though, he has this hypnotizing effect. And the way you can tell in the movie is they kind of draw these circles in Ka's eyes. And then when it's working, you can see Mowgli's eyes also begin to do that. And so there's this one scene where Ka wants to eat Mowgli. And so he begins to talk softly, soothingly, very gently to him, just telling him things like this. And then you see the animation starts to do this with his eyes. And then you see Mowgli's eyes. At first they're clear, and then all of a sudden they become like this too. And all of a sudden now, Ka can do anything he wants with Mowgli. He picks him up. He makes him walk a certain way. He begins to wrap his coils around him because he's getting ready to eat him. Mowgli has no idea what's happening. He's just listening to the voice of Ka. And then it's Bagheera. He's the panther who's overseeing and the caretaker of Mowgli, who also gets partially hypnotized. But anyways, he comes out of it, shakes himself out, and stops it just in time. And I kind of felt, when these verses, what was happening to me, I felt like Mowgli. I felt like whether it was the enemy and the world and society had done that to me, and how I was supposed to talk and be and act with my children, what TV shows they can watch, what books they can read, how I can say things, phrases that I had, I could do because the society had said that. And all of a sudden, Holy Spirit went, and I'm like, whoa, what's going on? Why am I letting, is that speaking life? Did I just speak life or did I speak death? And I began to really take note. And I'm not talking about even big, big things. I'm talking about in the micro moments of my life, in the minutia moments. Again, if God creates and speaks with words, and I can maybe have the possibility of doing the same thing in a different realm, what had I been creating? What had I been building? What had I been cultivating in my life, modeling for them and teaching them in those micro moments of my life? Was it bringing life or was I speaking death? So I was convicted about certain thoughts and phrases that had been part of my vocabulary and had been for years. Nothing vulgar, I'm not talking about that, but words and phrases that I was speaking, and did they actually speak life in those micro moments? I'll give one example. And I was particular to not give lots of examples because Holy Spirit is going to do his own work today in you as you're hearing this and how it pertains to you particularly. But for me, this was one of the phrases. It's a very common greeting in Canada. Hi, how are you? Oh, not too bad. And I began to take that apart, and Holy Spirit's like, what are you saying? And I said, I'm not too bad. Well, I'm not too bad. Oh. I don't know. Is that very life-giving? And this conversation began to happen. I'm like, is there a different way I could say that? And so as that was ruminating, I began to try and come up with some different language for that. So that's what I mean by micro moments, just something that's just fleeting. And what am I speaking over my life? What am I saying right there about myself? And interestingly enough, there was a comedian that I found a number of years ago who actually brought up that exact same phrase, but did it in a much more comedic fashion, of course. And he was talking about not too bad, like it's kind of bad, it's partially bad, it's semi-bad, but it's not too bad. That's how my life is right now. It's not too bad, it's just some bad. And he was bringing it in a comedic fashion, and I'm like, wow, I get that. I get that. I have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. I have been redeemed by his grace. I have been given all authority under heaven because I am his child. Not too bad. And I'm not even talking about my external circumstances. I'm talking about just my spirit. And I've listed those things. Not too bad. I'm great. Thank you for asking. Now, I'm not negating challenges. The interesting thing, when this was happening, when this all was stirring, we were just actually coming out of an extremely challenging circumstance in our life and season. And that's another story, but it was very challenging. So much that it still affects us today. So I'm not talking about glossing things over. We've talked about that. No, we want to be real here. We are a community where everyone belongs and many believe, and we want to be real about it. But I'm not going to speak death over my situation. I am going to speak life because that's how my God speaks. So I'm going to speak life. So how are you today? I'm doing well, thank you. You can ask me that anytime, and that is my response. Somebody said, just well. Oh, I'm doing very well, actually. Thank you. That's a great, thank you for spurring that on. I work as a secretary at a school, Christian school, and there is one parent, it's fabulous. I call, or he calls, and I answer, how are you doing today? He's like, I'm great. I'm like, yes. Thank you. I am great, too. I'm really great. Or if I want to be real, which I like to do that, when people ask that question, it's not just, like I said, a gloss over. How are you doing today? I'm doing well. It's a little bit challenging right now, but I'm doing well. Let's be truthful, okay? You don't have to be pretending, but we are well. Last night it was talked about security was one of the main things that all people need. I am secure on Jesus. This may be crowding and, or no, breaking apart and falling apart, but I'm secure on Jesus, so I'm well, thank you. But it's a little challenging right now and difficult. Heaven and earth are watching as I do that. Oh, let my life speak life. Let me speak life and not death. Now, the interesting thing, it's not just, I'm not talking here about positive thinking. Remembering, we have to remember where our source of life comes from. Right? So I'm not just saying we talk about it in a happy, good way. No, no, no. Our source of life comes from Abba Father. Choosing him. Remember back in Deuteronomy, choosing him and his ways. He's my source of life. Jesus came in the New Testament and John says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hearkening back to choose life. Choose life or death. Blessings or curses. Choose one or the other. And so we speak life from our source of life. Mental health right now has come a little bit more to the forefront of society, which I personally think is a really great thing. And again, so about the whole positive thinking. And so there's phrasing that's out there, whether it's for kids like in schools or in other places, people talk about, does that fill your bucket? Do those words fill that person's bucket? Or do those words empty a person's bucket? Basically, it's the same language, what I'm saying. Does that bring life or does that bring death? One of the two. And it's the same thing, but the point is with that, again, with positive thinking, it's only a partial because it's still recognizing, we have to recognize where the source of life comes from, and it comes from Jesus. And so we need to recognize that is good, but we need to have our source, which is God. We need to. There is an actor, he hasn't been acting for quite some time, Michael J. Fox. He was in Back to the Future, sort of when I was a teenager, he was a big actor. And I believe it's Parkinson's that he's been struggling and walking with for a long time. But he had a quote, and it came to mind again when I was preparing to share today. And he has a quote that I heard, and I'm like, I don't know where you're faith journey is, I don't know where you are with knowing Jesus, but you do have a good handle of gratitude. And I believe Holy Spirit's working in him in that regard. And gratitude is one of the best ways, I would say, to learn to speak life because it's a change of perspective. So gratitude, he has this gratitude quote that was in the AARP magazine in December 21. And it says, and if you don't think you have anything to be grateful for, keep looking. This is him saying this, because you don't just receive optimism. You can't wait for things to be great and then be grateful for that. You've got to behave in a way that promotes that. And then if I go back to the Proverbs quote, those who love to talk will reap the consequences. You've got to behave in a way that promotes that. We'll reap the consequences. So we choose life from the source of life, and life will grow. So we choose life from the source of life, and life will grow. Life will grow for ourselves, grow in ourselves. We speak that to ourselves. Life will grow. We speak life to ourselves, and it grows in us, in our thoughts, which then for me affects our bodies. It's very well known that stress can have an effect on your whole body. So if you can speak life, and we declare that over our minds and our thoughts, it will have effect on all of us, our whole being. We speak life to others. We speak life at every opportunity to others in those micro moments. Doesn't have to be a macro moment. This is what I would call a macro moment. It's a big moment because it's very purposeful and there's been thought put into it. I'm talking about in those micro moments of speaking life. And then what happens is the atmosphere around us changes and we begin to affect others. Common question in our house in our season when this was sort of big and revolutionary and happening and I was right on it. Common question was, something happens, someone says someone, and it's, does that speak life or does that speak death? That's a very common question. Does that speak life or does that speak death? And even with my children, it would happen. And sometimes, you know, they were a little bit shorter, smaller in stature at the time, so there'd be a getting down and I'd be, something would happen. They'd say something or they're wanting to watch a certain show. And I'd be like, okay, does that speak life or does that speak death? And they were given the opportunity to work it through. It wasn't just mom saying, no, don't do that. Which, I mean, I was saying that, but I wanted that. but it's them working it out themselves of learning how to speak life, because it wasn't just going to be me. I wanted to affect the atmosphere. I wanted to create a culture of life in our household and how we do things. And so sometimes there would be, well, it doesn't really directly speak life. And I'm like, well, then what's it doing? Okay, right? And so, but there was that realization of, does this speak life or does this speak death? And then the promise in Deuteronomy is that it's for generations. It says that you and your descendants might live. It's not just the immediate. It's not just right now. It's for going forward. It's for onward, for those yet to come. It's a culture of life. Our families need that. Our neighborhoods need that. Our society needs that. Our world needs life. It needs to hear from the source of life. And heaven and earth will witness our choice. Yeah. The kingdom of God is at hand, he says. Jesus said that. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's near. It's here. It's right now. Oh, that you would choose life. Now, as I've been talking and sharing about this, I know that Holy Spirit has been working. He was working already, even before, like during worship and everything. He's always working. Always working. And I want to honor what he's been doing while I'm sharing and talking. And so what comes to mind is there may be people here who have never chosen life to follow Jesus. He is life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Who have never chosen Jesus at all for the first time. There could be those people here. You might be here. And if you are, we're so glad that you're here today. And so it would be, I felt, not really honoring to Holy Spirit and what he could be doing if I don't give an opportunity for you to make that choice today. To make that choice for the first time to say, Lord, I choose life. I choose to follow you. I know that I have not followed you. I know that I have sinned. I know that there is no way that I can be reconciled to you, Lord God, except through you, Jesus. And he may have been working and talking to you for a number of years, months, days, I don't know. And today is the moment where it's what I would say is the fullness of time, and today's the day that you want to make that choice. So I'm going to pray for you. And if you do, if you want to make that choice for the very first time, to choose life, to follow his ways, to obey his commands, to to learn more about him, to have a relationship with Jesus. We're going to do that. So let's close our eyes, and I'm just going to pray right now for that. Lord God, you are worthy. You are worthy and holy and glorious and gracious. And Father, for those of us here who have never made that choice before, never made that significant choice, purposeful choice to say, I want to follow you, Lord God. I want you to be Lord of my life, Jesus. I know there's no other way except through you, Lord God, to have that deep relationship with you, Jesus. I have sinned, I've done wrong. I've sinned in you in the way I've thought. I've sinned in the way I've done spoken. I've sinned in the way that I've done words and deeds. Lord, I have not loved people the way you want me to love them. Lord, I recognize that I am far from you, but yet not, because you are right here. So Jesus, thank you for your mercy, for your grace, for your salvation. I thank you that I can be a child of God today, right now, in this choice of choosing life. That you will lead me, teach me, guide me, and renew me every single day. And I will give glory to you, Lord God. Thank you for your forgiveness. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, if you have prayed that for the first time, that's fabulous. It really is awesome. It says heaven celebrates. Heaven and earth are watching the choice that we just made, and heaven celebrates that. It's important, though, to not try and do it on your own. It's important to do it in community. So if you came with someone who knows Jesus, please tell them. Tell any of the pastoral staff or up at the front here. We also have a prayer team at the back. Please go tell them, maybe. You can go to the Connect desk. You can go tell them. But please tell somebody that you made that choice today. We want to support you and give you resources as well, too. And then there's those of us, though, who maybe would like to just renew our commitment to choosing life. I chose life, but I don't really know if I've been speaking it, doing it very much lately. Jesus, I want to be renewed in that. I want to pray for you right now, too. Pray for us. So let's do that now, too. And if you want, you can put your hands out to receive. Lord Jesus, again, you just are good beyond comparison. The authority and power that's in your name, as we spoke and then we sang this morning. There is no one like you. No one compares to you. You have no rival. You have no equal. You alone are Lord. You alone are the way of life, the bread of life. And so, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness again, as we have maybe not spoken, acted, thought in the way that you would desire us to, in your ways. Lord, we thank you for your redemption, for your renewing again, even right now with your Holy Spirit on us, in us, through us, that you will quicken to our hearts and minds, our spirits, our bodies, how we can choose life every single day, every single moment of every day. But yet your grace covers us for those times when we don't. And we give thanks for that. But we will walk more and more towards you and your ways, listening to you closely, because you are the source of life. We choose you, Lord God. We choose life. We choose to speak life, the source of life. And we give thanks for the life that will grow in our situations, in our thoughts, in our families, in our societies. We thank you for the life that will grow as we speak your ways. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.